Hey there, welcome to the Sport Ops Hangout. This podcast helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. I'm your host, Chase Clements. This week, we're going to continue with our Making Your Product Better theme in general. But before we do that, let's go ahead and meet the rest of the crew. Carolyn is wrapped up in a meeting, but hopefully she's going to join us any minute now as we anxiously await. I guess that's a good way of putting it. The other folks on the panel, like usual, Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Glad to be here.
Fantastic. And then, Jeff, I don't have anything prepped for your high and mighty one. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll do better next week. It's that week off. The week off threw me, and I completely forgot about it.
You better do better next time, because I'm the one that requested that you always have good intros for me. But since you're asking, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. That's all that matters. That and, I guess, how the weather is up there. I don't know. That's what we normally talk about.
It's cold.
It's cold and rainy, like Boston always is. All right, so like we mentioned, Carolyn should be here any minute, but this week we're going back to that pipeline that Jeff mentioned last week. There's this pipeline that runs from your support product. That, I guess that's the new team that I'm making up right there. But basically, it runs from your support team over to your product team. And through it is going to flow all those ideas and pain points and just this wealth of knowledge from your customers that's going to be housed basically in your support team. So how do we prioritize getting that pipeline free-flowing? How do we prioritize that versus feature work in general? And then how can support influence some of this? I should mention this one was one that was brought by Jeff. He brought it up in our base camp. So wanted to tip the hat there for a great topic for this show, hopefully. But yeah, Jeff, let's start with you. How does that pipeline work for Wistia?
So, I think we're still really early days on how that pipeline should work. You really don't need a pipeline. I mean, just to back up a step, you don't necessarily need it if it's just a few people sitting around one table, right? Because you hear about everything. Maybe you're in a lot of the support conversations. You don't have much product yet, right? There isn't that much surface area for there to be issues with. And everyone's talking all the time about the whole product, the whole experience, right? That goes hand in hand with there just not being that much there. But now we're in a place where, right, there is this well-established support function. And as a product person, I do a few support tickets every week. I like to keep, my ear to the ground, as it were. But there is still this like larger question of process. How do you get stuff repeatably, I guess, consistently from support ticket into better experience? And I'm not necessarily of the belief that every issue has to be resolved, right? That every bug needs to be fixed or every support conversation has to necessitate an update to our product. That we can all just agree that that's a fallacy. But there are these underlying, there's just the general concept of you've got X number of people on your support or sales team who are talking to the customer every day. How do we leverage that information? And when a customer says, I really wish that I could use your product to solve this problem, how does that get piped into your development team, your product team, whatever you call it, so that they can use that information to prioritize big things? I don't really know.
Yeah, I think this is one that a lot of companies deal with, because take us, for instance, for Basecamp. You know, in the beginning, four or five people, Jason, David, Ryan, you know, a couple of folks there, they were all involved in customer tickets. They were, they were dogfooding their own product because they were using Basecamp to run their client-side business and all of that. And then as the team grows, there's this struggle with consistency. I think that was a good way to put it. There's this struggle to find a consistent way to make sure that the customer's voice is bubbling up where it needs to be. And the right customer's voice here, I think, is a big thing too. Like one of the things that I know our support team kind of struggles with is finding which people are using Basecamp, like which ones of those are our ideal customers, which ones that really get Basecamp. Basecamp's a project collaboration app. I mean, I'm a project management app. There's a million of them out there, and everyone uses Basecamp differently. Everyone has different expectations of it. And when they start emailing us, it's really tough to say, you know, there's this one person that just absolutely has to have Gantt charts because that's the one thing they need. Like, they love the other 99% of Basecamp, but they have to have Gantt charts to get to that 100. And it can be real tempting to be like, we should listen to a customer like that, somebody that's using Basecamp 99%, but there's this one little thing. So it's always tough to know when to say, you know, it's great that you love Basecamp, but we're not doing Gantt charts, and that's not something that I'm going to be passing over that pipeline because I know that's not where we're going. Chase, do you end up in the same, like a similar situation with Automattic? I mean, good Lord, there's so many different people out there that uses it. How do you know, like, which customers to actually, you know, listen to and then pass on what they're saying?
Yeah, that's definitely a tough situation, especially with some of our products like Jetpack that are, you know, open source. And so anytime, you know, a certain, you know, some people will post an issue on GitHub or something as a feature request, it's always sort of a sad and tough thing to just close that as like a won't fix or a feature request that we're not planning on doing, you know, in the near future. So you definitely have, we have to be careful with that. And we, you know, experience that just like anybody else. There are just some features that folks, you know, request oftentimes, or even, you know, just one-offs that we have to say, you know, sorry, this is not something that we're planning on working on, you know, in the near future with Jetpack. So, you know, either we hope you can find another plugin maybe that suits your needs, or use some of the features that are already built into Jetpack and sort of hack around what you'd like to do. So we definitely run into that. I guess maybe it's a little bit easier that some of our products aren't, you know, in the public eye. And so we don't get shamed publicly for closing something like that with some of the products, but with the open source ones, it's, I think, extra tough just because anybody and everybody will come jump on the ticket and say that they want the same feature and they don't know why we won't do it and that kind of thing. So that's a delicate balance that we have to keep.
So with a company the size of Automattic, how do you know when to how do you know when to tell a customer that it's something that you won't be fixing or that it's a feature that you won't be adding? How do you know when to say no and a firm no on that versus, yeah, that's a good idea and we're kind of saying no, like, let me pass that on up and see what other people think?
Yeah, I think obviously with each situation, it's going to be a little bit different. Sometimes we might have a conversation with one of the developers. We work as a support team on Jetpack, especially. We work very closely with the developers who are actually, you know, building and fixing Jetpack day to day. So it's not a big deal for us to pop over into their Slack channel or something like that and say, hey, I wanted to run something by you. You know, this is not something that's on our, you know, like big overarching generalized roadmap of a feature we are planning on working on. But, you know, is this something that maybe isn't a lot of work that we could slide in and it might be beneficial for more than just this one user? So, you know, that's one case. We may talk to them, have a little conversation about it, or if it's just something we know we've seen before, or, you know, we've talked about before and it's something that we're not going to do, that's, you know, sort of another situation. We might just say, hey, we've had this request before, or we just know that this is not something that fits in Jetpack's wheelhouse. You know, if it's something that the Jetpack just doesn't do altogether and we don't ever intend for it to do, then that might be another situation. And so I think that's how, you know, most of Automattic handles that sort of situation, is just some conversations and, you know, decisions have to be made depending on what the user's asking for and that kind of thing.
So Jeff, with Wistia, you know, I imagine you get customers that come to you and say, well, YouTube does this, or Vimeo does this, or whatnot. Why doesn't Wistia do this? Like, how does your team know when to actually consider something that a customer brings up like that versus a, well, that's great for them, you'll want to use them rather than Wistia? Like, how do you differentiate between the two there?
I think in general, we learned from Jason at Basecamp a long time ago that more often than not, you say, well, you know, I get that, and you probably should go use that other tool because that's not something we're going to have next week, right? And in general, if it's something that's mission critical, people aren't going to wait for the month, the 2 months that it takes to add something like that. Sometimes, excuse me, there are things that are just a small tweak away from what we have, right? Oh, YouTube lets you have this option as part of a larger feature that you both have. YouTube also allows you to have this small option. And that might be something that we would either make a quick decision to add or make a quick decision is just not for us. But when it comes to the big feature stuff, when people say, YouTube lets me do this, why doesn't Wistia let me do that? So Vimeo is a classic example. They have password protection, and we have not had that for a really long time. And I think a lot of the times it comes down to a product challenge, which is what are people trying to solve with that feature, right? The feature actually accomplishes something. Do we already have something in place that solves the same problem and the customer just doesn't want to change their workflow, right? Because then you can think about it differently. It's not just, hey, we should add this password protection feature. It's also in the general set of how people are solving problems in Wistia. Is this something that they can do? And that's something that's great to get support feedback on. Because if all the questions that we're getting is on how can I do password protection, and we're pretty confident that it's just because they're used to having that Vimeo workflow, then maybe what we should do is improve our documentation, right? Or have something in the product that says, you know, looking for password protection, that's over here. And see how it goes. And if people are still saying, well, it doesn't quite do exactly how I want it, exactly what I want it to do, because I don't want people to have to log in or whatever, then that's something that maybe we remove the private sharing, something like that. So it's always about trying to get to that root problem. And that's a place where you can train your support people to be really good at asking those deeper questions rather than just treating things as a transactional conversation.
So when your support peeps are digging into specific customers like that and pulling out the story of what they really need something for, is that something that gets passed back to the product team too? Is that something that, you know, somebody says, hey, yeah, I was talking with this customer and they had a really great situation here. It wasn't that they needed a certain like feature. It was that we could help with this situation if we did X, Y, or Z. Is that something that gets passed back to product? Like, should it be passed back?
Yeah. So something that's been great for us is just standing up a Slack channel for product feedback. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people who are answering support tickets will take a section that they think is relevant out of a single conversation. They'll put it into the Slack channel with just the general question of, is this something that's on our roadmap? Is this something we'd ever consider? And if not, why? And it's a great opportunity to talk through somewhat asynchronously, but also like in real time without having to get up and switch desks all the time, talk through, oh yeah, like that is something that we considered. Here's why we decided not to do that. Could you ask the customer X, Y, and Z questions to get it like a deeper understanding of why they want something like that? And, you know, the hit rate's not great. Like there's certainly a large percentage of people who just see the, no, we don't do that. And they're like, okay, great. I'm on to this other thing. But for the people who do take the time to respond, it's always incredibly insightful. It's just a huge point of leverage for me. I mean, we have a super small product team and a pretty large support team. It's a huge point of leverage for me to be able to ask those questions of the support team and have them go through and find out a lot more about the customer. I mean, that's where the customer context for Wistia lives to such a large extent. On like day-to-day workflows is in the support team's brains. So having them conduct the conversation and then be a major input into product conversations is where we're at right now.
Yeah, I like how that pipeline basically flows the other way too, you know, with your product team telling, you know, everyone that this is why we designed it this way, this is what we had in mind. Chase with Automattic, when, you know, you're rolling out WordPress updates and such, does the product team do something similar there? Do they explain the why behind this is how the feature ended up and why it ended up this way?
Yeah, a lot of times they do. Usually there's, you know, an internal notice and we try to, you know, beta test everything. And so that gives us as a support team time to ask questions about anything that isn't clear or that the developers or product team hasn't already made clear as far as why something was done the way it was or whatever the case may be. So yeah, that's something we definitely try to do is, any release, whether it be Jetpack, whether it be a new feature on WordPress.com, anything like that. Usually it's rolled out, you know, at least a week or two in advance to just automaticians to play around with and call for any suggestions and that kind of thing. And so that's the time when we can, you know, go through and look at the issues that we're trying to solve and see, and feature requests too that we've seen, and sort of collectively try to figure out why something was done the way it was, if it's not exactly, you know, what the user asked for. So that way we can, you know, go back to the user and let them know, or include that in like a release notes post or something like that.
Yeah. So if your product team isn't doing that already, is, you mentioned that you basically just ask questions. Is that really a good way for the support team to kind of draw that out and just be like, hey, why is it this way? Rather than like waiting around for them to offer up that explanation?
I think in a lot of times it definitely is, especially if it's something that more than, you know, one person on your team might have questions about. You know, if it's a sticking point or something like that you're seeing when you're testing a new feature or a new release or something like that. I definitely think, you know, communicating with the product team on some of their decision making could definitely be helpful to even, you know, once the feature is released to the wider user base. That discussion can help you, you know, explain when a user might have a question, a similar question that even you had about it. If you've already talked with your product team and gotten their thoughts on things, then you can use some of that and take it to the user and, you know, use the same explanation for them if it's, you know, applicable.
There you go. So on the next one, I'm going to give you first swing at it since you brought it up in our thread earlier. When it comes to, you know, the support team offering up these customer stories and feature requests and things like that, how can the support team help the product team decide which things are important, which things to prioritize, and how can they help kind of influence where, you know, the stuff coming from them gets balanced by other feature work that's already been planned?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You get the hard one, man.
Nice and small.
I can't even say anything. Like, you're the one that asked this one. So.
And then you want me to have these like nice, concise replies. I do my best, Jason.
I mean, I will say, like, this is a problem that any company is really going to go through. I mean, we've done the same thing at Basecamp because we have these Basecamp works in basically these 6-week dev cycles. Each cycle is planned, the work board is planned, and it's planned to take about 6 weeks. And then we have this big announcement that goes up that says, you know, features A, B, and C are going to be worked on, and then this is going to be worked on, and that's going to be worked on. And then leading up to that, kind of our process leading up to that decision is that different people from our team basically pitch a different feature or a different idea. So one of the things that our support team has taken to do is basically we'll pitch something like having, I don't know, like having an export tool, for instance, right? So Basecamp needs an export tool. So when we pitch it, we'll kind of outline what we're thinking, like how it should work and how it's worked in previous versions. We'll add in some of the different customer stories that we've been seeing and link them over to the emails that we've got over in Help Scout. So if the designers want to, they can kind of follow up with customers there with questions. We'll pull from any survey data that we've got. Maybe, you know, X amount of people have been requesting this. Basically, we'll build this nice, concise pitch and then post it as a message in Basecamp. That way everybody can comment on it and we can have a discussion around it asynchronously rather than relying on like a chat tool or something for that conversation. That's worked. I mean, we've done that for a couple of times. It's kind of worked out well, at least like when support does, you know, throw out an idea like that, it kind of feels like it carries the same weight as coming from anybody else on the team because everyone is doing pitches like that. So it's not seen as any less just because it's coming from support. So that's kind of, I don't know, I've been stalling really to give you some time to come up with that concise answer. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we're doing it at the moment, and it's working okay.
Good. I was just listening. I wasn't doing any thinking at all.
Yeah, I think for us to give you another couple of minutes to think, I think for us it comes down to we really like having a well thought out pitch, and maybe it's not a thought out one that covers every single edge case that you could think of. But typically what happens for us is somebody brings it up in a campfire chat. So somebody will say, customer's asking about X, kind of like you mentioned earlier, customer's asking about X. Do we have a real good reason why we don't have something like that yet? When we do that, then it'll probably get a couple of people to chime in with, oh yeah, we could do this, or oh yeah, we could do that. But then if it stays in chat, it just kind of scrolls off the screen and it's never heard from again. So by taking it from there and turning it into a more formal pitch with customer stories and actual data to back it up, that kind of lends it more influence when it comes time to decide, you know, here's three pitches from support. Here's three things the designers want to work on. Here's something that Jason wants to work on. We'll take all of those, then we'll figure out how much time we can actually, you know, give to each of those and kind of if it can get slotted for this cycle. Yeah, I mean, that's worked out. Like I said, that's worked pretty well the last couple of times we've done it.
So I think that if we break that process apart, the two parts that I think are really important to that are, first, it's got to be a dialogue.
Yep.
I don't think it works if it's one team just makes a decision, you know, without any input about what they're going to work on, and then all of the other teams just kind of have to deal with it. Like that doesn't work. I think when we make decisions about what we're going to work on, it has to be with a lot of other people, with a lot of other voices, either in the room or lending input to that process. And then the second thing is it can't be, here's what we're going to work on this year.
Yeah.
And it's like this feature and that feature and that's it. Or it can't be, here's what we're going to work on this year, and it's these 20 things.
Yeah, what happens when you get like 6 months into that and all of a sudden things change? Maybe, I don't know, like with Vimeo and the password thing, like maybe password's not a big thing anymore. And all of a sudden you've planned 6 months ago to tackle it. Now it's like,
Yeah, so I don't think that could work either. It's got to be a dialogue, and it has to be, here's what we think we're going to do. I like the idea of 6 weeks. Here's what we're going to do in the next 6 weeks. Here are the problems that we want to tackle. What do people think? How do people think we should resolve these? What are some different ways we could tackle this problem? I really think that that's the starting point for how support. A lot of people want to set up dashboards and they want to have, you know, meetings with support metrics and all that stuff. I think that's great. I really think that kind of thing should happen very naturally as part of work, right? Is, hey, we're seeing a lot of this issue, right? Or somebody opens, in our case, a GitHub issue, and there's a whole lot of plus ones from different support team members that are like, hey, here's like six tickets about this from today, and we'll just prioritize a fix that day if possible. But for some of the like more vague, like hard to put your finger on what the potential fix is, but we just know it's a problem, it's got to be something that we think about we do thinking as a group about the impact, the effort involved to do stuff, and the customer value, right? And I think that goes hand in hand with impact, but not always. And then putting aside, you know, 6 weeks of time to work on it. That seems like a pretty straightforward way to do it, as long as you can get everybody at the table at the same time.
Yeah, I think too that it's also important here to let people know what's not made a specific cycle and the reason why. So I think back to like the last cycle, for instance, one of the big things that our support team pitched and pushed for was an import tool to go from Basecamp 2 to Basecamp 3. And that's something that would be really beneficial. It would have a high impact. It would get people off of a previous version of Basecamp onto a new the current version. So it's a win all the way around. And it kind of came time to that cycle. It was just one of those where we didn't have enough people to go around. It wasn't that it was a bad idea or a whatever you want to call it. It was just it's not the right cycle for this for X, Y, or Z reasons. And that's one of those things like we can take back to customers too. And you know, if a customer says, hey, it's been like 4 months, why do you have feature like X on it? We can say, hey, it's on our list too. And here's what it got beat out by. And here's why it's not, happening on this specific cycle, but it's not been rolled out for a future one. That why there, again, it goes back to like having the why on a new feature release or anything like that. The why gives your support team time, gives your support team not ammo necessarily, but gives them the dialogue to have with a customer, gives them the context to frame their answers in. Chase, with automatic, looking at Jetpack, is that like what's kind of the flow there? If you know, you and the rest of the support team says, hey, we need to be working on feature X for the next cycle. Like how does that work?
Yeah. Like I guess many of the other things we do, that's something that usually our team lead attends also the Jetpack product team and development teams meetings, you know, weekly or however often they happen. And so, usually in our personal team meetings for our team, that's something we might chat about is, some of the biggest issues that we've come across in support in the last week or two, or feature requests that have had the most requests, made. We'll, you know, obviously document that on GitHub with links to the ticket or whatever the case may be. And then Ryan, our team lead, can take that, when he is involved in their team meeting and talk about that, you know, with them and say, hey, this, you know, we try to iterate pretty quickly on Jetpack. So, you know, once a month, once every other month, something like that, we're probably going to do at least a minor, you know, point bug fix release or something. So, that's something that, you know, they can work into that next release. And even, you know, sometimes we have some great happiness engineers that have some pretty awesome developer chops too. So if it's an issue that they have some time to fix, they may even jump in there and do it themselves to help the Jetpack product team out. So there's, you know, a lot of different ways we can do it. But I think, you know, it all comes back to communication and making sure that everybody's on the same page with what the top priority issues are at any given time, whether we're, you know, we're actively working on a release or not, just keeping that in the back of your mind. Like, hey, when we are working on our next, you know, bug fix, you know, this is a major bug that has been affecting some users for, you know, a few days now, and we definitely need to get this fixed as soon as possible.
What I love about that and what you just said, and I'm sorry if I just cut you off, but I just got excited.
That's, you're totally good.
Is that automatic is a much, much larger team and a much, much more established product than Wistia is. And yet, based on what you just described, a lot of it is still see a problem, solve a problem. And it doesn't have to have a ton of overhead and really complicated, okay, you have to fill out this RFP and then you have to send it out. And hopefully, you know, there's like a team that can be assigned to it. And in like 2 to 4 months, they might do it. Occasionally it's just like, hey, there's a problem here. And I think I know how to solve it. And I'm just going to go for it. And I think that you were absolutely right in hitting the communication point very strongly, that if you're talking about what you're working on and, you know, your team knows the difference between I'm implementing a new feature just for this customer versus this thing doesn't work the way we say it's going to work, and I'm just going to tweak it so that it matches the documentation or whatever, then that, just that ethic, that mindset. I love thinking about the fact that that could scale to a much, much larger organization than we are, because I don't want to lose that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I saw the latest numbers today. We're at 450 people now, and that still, you know, happens all the time. I mean, even something as simple as a spelling error or a typo or something, you know, that's something that one of us would just jump in and fix. You know, we have just as much access to GitHub and the code as anybody else would, and so we can jump in and do the fix ourselves. So that's, I mean, that's awesome and something that I think a lot of companies could stand to learn from, probably.
Yeah, I think too, like, even if you're talking about the size getting bigger here, it's still the same basic concept. It's still support teams talking amongst themselves and then talking with the rest of the teams in the company about what customers are talking about, what they're asking for, and the situations they're running into. When you're a small company, if there's 4 or 5 of you, you're probably having that kind of conversation that you know, throughout the day. Then you're going to get a little bit bigger to the point where, you know, maybe you have conversations with everybody, but it's still kind of hard to get, like at Basecamp size, there's 49 of us right now. It's hard to get 49 people to agree on anything. Like, we learned that when we were trying to book a hotel for the meetup. Like, everybody has their own different, like, personal opinion on that. But it's still doable where you can get, you know, the right people to make the right calls. And even at automatic size, you know, your team leads are talking to their teams, and then the team leads go into the the meeting with the rest of them and kind of pass on what the teams are talking about. Like the communication stays the same, even if the number of people that are making those decisions might get smaller to the point, you know, like you don't have too many chefs in the kitchen. That's just going to ruin things. So that's encouraging to see too at 450, that's insane. And you're still hiring, right? Like all those support people out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there were like 11 new people just last month that started or something like that. So
automatic running, what is it, 26% of the way up, 28%, something like that.
Something like that now.
Yeah, Wistia is on the way to, what, like 20% of the video web stuff?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. I don't think that there's – I think that YouTube is even more oppressive than WordPress would be to, like, some startup, you know, CMS today. But how about business video? I'll take 20% of business video on the web.
Business video, I like it. All right, anything else, gents, before we shut this one out?
I would just love to hear more from other people about either questions they have about this, like more specific questions they have about this, or just how they do it, right? It was great to hear a little bit about how Basecamp and Automatic handle this. They're more experienced companies than we are, so the more conversation around this, I just feel like in general, your point about a lot of companies experience this and a lot of different ways to resolve, you know, to solve this. I won't say resolve, but because it's not permanent, but, you know, try fixes for this all over the place. So having more conversation around this would be awesome.
Yeah. It's one of those where, you know, every company is going to do it a little bit differently. Like when you're talking about having a Slack channel to like throw customer stories and feedback in, like that would terrify me. Like that would be one of those where I know I'm going to miss something in it, you know? But on the flip side, like Slack works for a ton of companies out there and there are people there doing it just like y'all are. So that's the cool thing here. It's all of our companies are going to have similar problems like this, but how we solve them are going to be really, really interesting. So like Jeff mentioned, drop us a line. We're at SupportOps on Twitter, or you can hit us up on email. We're hello@supportops.co. Yeah, that's our take on this one. When you get a chance, sign up for the newsletter. Head over to supportops.co. You'll find the newsletter link there. It's a chance to talk with any of us directly about any episode that you want, and you can see our shout outs in there now as well. We'll have the link to that. Like I mentioned, it's on the site and it'll be in the show notes as well. So yeah, that's it. Thanks again for listening. And until we see you again, have an awesome week.